Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the best of the Eagles.
And the Eagles win! The Eagles win!
A weekly mix of Sports Radio 94WIP's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCamera and John Rich. It is 94WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling. On this Tuesday morning, when the Eagles get the win in Green Bay, it's a big one. Defensive game, obviously, a 10-7 win. I thought it was highly entertaining. Now, it was offensively challenged, of course. But part of that was because of two really good defenses. Look, it's a big win. They get to 7-2, and we'll discuss it all day, all week. Now, there were some negatives, and we will discuss that. But there were some big old positives as well, and we'll break it all down with you at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Good morning, Johnny.
They should have punted.
Yes, they should have.
It was 4th and 6.
Yes, okay. They should have.
He talked after the game that he didn't want to kick the field goal because of the wind.
He left
it was
out
into
that punt
the
part.
Wind.
Yeah, I know.
And the cold, yeah.
I understand then. I understand. I didn't understand at the time.
No, it was horrible.
Because I thought, hey, kick a 52-yard field goal. But then, all these hours later, I understood. But this is ridiculous.
No, I don't understand.
This was the wrong choice that he made when he chose to just throw the ball up. Was that an attempt to try to draw a pass interference call?
You're saying the first half or the second half now? Second half still?
Yeah, second.
Yeah, it's like, no, it was a bad call. It was a bad decision. Look, they overcame it. I thought it was one of Sirianni's worst managed games.
Yes.
And they won it.
That was troubling.
Yeah.
That part was troubling to me. I didn't understand the end. There was so much I disagreed with.
I agree.
But hey, it was extremely aggressive.
Yeah, it was weird.
If that's the way that we're going to go, and it worked. I can't argue, I guess.
No,
with that
we will argue, but we won't argue with the win.
I disagreed with the decision.
I agree with you.
So,
You're right.
I don't understand the decision at all. I wanted to punt and pin the ball with inside the 5.
Correct.
That was my first choice.
Correct.
Second choice would have been go for that 52-yard field goal.
Correct.
Because I think we could have made that. Like what we did, it was a distant decision. Choice for me, but they won, and it felt like that was a good team we just beat, and that was in the cold, and that was on the road in a place that is supposed to be hard to play in. They scored because they got Jihad Campbell on a PI spot foul, that really gave them a nice burst of yardage there inside the 10. As he was trying to cover the tight end and man, that's a tough spot. He just mistimed the jump, the dive. He's a young player. He'll learn from that. But that's a 10-7 game. I remember I played in one 10-7 game my whole life.
Wow.
It was my senior year in high school, and it was the district championship game, and the team that we played had the team that we played against was Harrisburg High School, and they had an inside linebacker named Ahmad Collins who ended up going to Penn State.
So you versus that guy all game?
It was a lot of that, and they pretty much, you know, busted us. They pretty much, no one held us to that sort of production. Yeah. You know, 10-7, who ever heard of that? But that can happen to great offenses and great players, and I'm not saying I'm a great player. I'm saying back then, that was our scenario. That's our situation. We had a really good team. Harrisburg was a great team. Yep. That's the mashing of heads of great defenses. Sometimes people like games like that.
Well, I'm
an offensively minded guy. So, I prefer some scoring.
I was let me start with this. I was actually highly entertained by the game last night. Highly entertained. Now, I know that might sound weird on 10-7. I thought it was a great game. Now, let me actually start with this, okay? Because I'm telling you guys, this is the headline. That was a tremendous victory by the Philadelphia Eagles last night. Tremendous. Tremendous. It was an important win, and it was a tremendous win. And this one is big. Big with a capital B, big. Big to set up the postseason. To get to 7-2, to beat that team, to beat them in Green Bay, that was huge. That was a masterclass by the defense last night. That was a huge step toward getting back to the Super Bowl. That was a huge step to maybe winning the Super Bowl. So I wake up this morning very, very happy. Now, am I 100% happy? Of course not. Because obviously, there were two main things last night on the negative side offensively. But I don't want to misconstrue or forget the reality of a massive win. All right? Massive. And your chance to react to 215-592-9494. But two obvious main negatives, both on the offensive side of the ball. Number one, overall offensive inefficiency, essentially the entire game. The first drive looked great. Jalen was totally dialed in. The fumble is unfortunate. I don't get on Jalen's case for that at all. You know, you're going to handle the ball that often in a season. You're going to fumble from time to time. It was a great first drive. From there, other than the two-play drive, obviously the offense stunk. We all know that. And we know that it's been a hallmark this year and for a couple years that despite all this immense talent, it feels like they've got much more offensive inefficiency than they should have. And I spread that out over a lot of players. O-line issues last night, Hurts issues last night. It's just bizarre to have that much talent and that much payroll on that side of the ball and be that consistently inefficient as they were last night and for much of this year. That's number one. Number two, as John alluded to, horrendous decisions by Nick Sirianni. Two in particular. The end of the first half, too conservative. The end of the second half, too aggressive. Too conservative, too aggressive. I mean, why when they could just have a 15, 20-yard pass at the end of the first half to get into field goal range, they're like, nope. Let's just go to halftime. That was dumb. And then on the flip side, on the other end, they should have punted. Of course they should have punted. Now, I will say this. Sirianni, in my opinion, deserves a little bit of like, hey, let's not come down too hard on the guy. I think he's a great game manager who managed the game very poorly last night. Irony to all of this is they won. And his typical conservative nature often leads to wins, which often lead to a lot of conversation and consternation about how they arrived there. But make no mistake about it, guys. Massive win by the Eagles last night. Massive. But of course, I didn't like the way Sirianni managed those two moments because on both accounts, I thought he was wrong. And obviously, at the end, the best option was to punt. The second best option was the field goal, but I would not have done the field goal. The third best option, and the one he went with, was go for fourth down. And we know they've been very successful in that down the left sideline thing to AJ and a lot of third and fourth downs, critical third and fives, critical fourth and fives over the last couple years. They've been really good on it because a lot of times you get AJ one-on-one. Been really good on it. But it was just dumb to not punt. Good punter. Make the other team go 90 yards with about 30 seconds left and no timeouts. Like, boom. It's not that complicated. Sirianni screwed that up, but they survived, and they advanced, and they got a big win. 215-592-9494. Talk to us.
Yeah, Joe, I'm right there with you. Like, look, I get it. There are complaints that we can have from last night. There, and the decision at the end of 4th and 6 is a whopper.
Yeah.
Like, if they lose the game, we don't forget that one. But, man, styles make fights. You know, it's not like the Packers put up 30 points last night. They put up 7. Those were two awesome defenses flying around. If you just don't watch football and you tune into that game, you would say the best athletes on the field are on the defensive side of the football last night. Like, they just looked faster than most offenses. It was freezing cold out. Like, I get it. It was frustrating offensively. But to your point, Joe, they went into Lambeau Field as an underdog and won a freaking football game. Like, boom. End of story.
Well, how about this to add on to it? They've now won at Kansas City.
Yep.
At Tampa Bay.
And they beat the Rams here. And they won at Minnesota, which isn't a horrible win.
Yeah, they're like an average
team.
And
also, can we just real quick not go the whole open without saying Jalen frickin' Phillips, man?
Yeah.
What a first game. He was the best player on the field last night.
James, I'll give you another name. Howie Roseman.
Yeah, well, damn straight.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a pathway back to the Super Bowl, and you knew it was going to be tougher this year because they were going to lose a lot of talent. You can't keep it all from that team that won the Super Bowl last year, so it was inevitable to lose talent. I mean, there's no doubt they were going to lose more than they gained in the offseason, and they did, and by a considerable margin. But Howie is, you know, and there's not much more he can do because at this point it's scrap heap, you know, with guys, you know, off the street essentially that are available, and they're not going to be very good. But the bottom line is he surveyed the first half of the season. He made a number of adjustments. Jalen Phillips obviously is the most notable, to the point where, you know, it was hard for Brandon Graham to even get on the field much last night. So bottom line is, great job by Howie, just kind of massaging the roster. And I'm pumped, man. I thought that was, as regular season wins go, that was one of the biggest of the Sirianni era. That was big. Now, I know we'll get into the mud, and we should, over the offensive inefficiency and Sirianni's blunders. But they won, and that was a big one. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls all show. Big day. Talk to us. What stood out to you from last night and this football team now at 7-2 after a Monday night football victory in Green Bay? Jared Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jared Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we're back. It's a Victory Tuesday on the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Chickies and Pete's on a Tuesday? Ike, the Eagles beat the Packers. Your thoughts, sir?
Victory!
That's my guy.
Fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory. Fly, Eagles, fly, score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit 'em low, hit 'em high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles. E-L-E-S, Eagles!
Woo! Here we are, Cheekies and Pete's in South Philly on a Tuesday. Normally here on a Monday, but it's Monday Night Football, so we're here on Tuesday. Birds win. Ike, I said to you, I think it was during a commercial break, yes, during yesterday's show, I said, here's what I want from the Eagles tonight. I was like, they got to give me a game where they're hitting on all cylinders and they win, and I could just go to bed totally fine with a smile on my face, or they got to lose. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't have any of these games where I'm a little bit pissed off after the game. Well, they didn't live up to it, but they did give us a win, and it's always hard to win at Lambeau Field. Those guys get paid, too. Big win for the Eagles last night, Ike. Big win.
Yes.
Big win.
Yes. Hey, listen, was not pretty. Was not pretty, and we'll dive into the particulars, but the fact of the matter is they left Green Bay with a W. They're 7-2, and there's always room for improvement. I didn't expect that to be an easy game last night. I expected the offense to look a little more reminiscent of what they did the last time we saw them a couple weeks ago in those last two games against Minnesota and then the was it the New York Giants? York Giants. But the defense, how could you not be impressed what you saw from that defense last night? Jalen Phillips, welcome to Philadelphia, my brother. Welcome.
What a debut.
To the city of brotherly love. I don't know if you could have had a better debut. Maybe stripping the ball and scoring the game-winning touchdown, like from a defensive standpoint, maybe that would have made it better. Other than that, this guy out there last night, you could tell he was excited to be in the new environment that he's in. He has an opportunity to do something he hasn't done as a professional just yet, which is go out and win a championship. He wants to be a part of this thing. And last night he ingratiated himself not only with the city of Philadelphia, because we're going to love anybody that plays hard and relentlessly the way that Jalen Phillips seemed to play last night, but to his teammates. To his teammates. Coming in as a big high-priced trade guy, former first-round draft pick that gave up a third-round pick. He's supposed to be coming in to somewhat save the day or rescue our ailing pass rush. Not everybody necessarily would receive that very well. I tell you what, but when you go out there and produce, they're going to welcome you with open arms. And last night, like I said, this kid gave us a great debut as a Philadelphia Eagle. And that defense last night on the road in Green Bay came up with big stop after big stop. The offense made a couple plays late in the game. Saquon got loose. Jalen hit Devontae for the touchdown. But the defense brought us home. The defense brought us home last night. That's the biggest takeaway I take away from the game last night, is that if this is the type of defense that we can build upon and play over the second half of the season, I feel very good about our chances come January, trying to get to February in Santa Clara. That's championship-style defense. I like that on the road. Let's not get mixed up and lost in the offense and not getting enough explosive plays and scoring touchdowns. I know that's what we're going to bellyache about today, and I understand it. Let's not get lost in that. Appreciate the type of defense we saw out there last night against that team in their stadium.
215-592-9494. So I mentioned, Ike, that I was hoping for like this, and the defense was awesome. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Phillips, it really just seemed like changed everything. I mean, they got a lot of pressure on the quarterback against the Giants,
yeah.
But last night, he was involved. Even the plays he didn't make, it seemed like he was involved in. And it just puts everybody, when you bring in somebody that performs at that level, it sort of puts everybody in their right place, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Jalen Hunt doesn't have to be the best pass rusher out there. And I think they only had Nolan Smith out there for 20 snaps his first game back. But it just seems like everybody else, when you have the one guy who you know is the best guy out there, everybody else slots into the right place. So the defense was great. I think the biggest thing for me last night was, it just finally hit me after the game. So I watched the game, and we'll get to it a little bit later on. I was truly pissed off about the decision, the fourth down decision with Sirianni. And I'm sitting there, and they won the game. And I just said to myself, I might have broken. It might just matter if they just win now. And it doesn't matter how it looks. Because it's just like week after week after week after week, I can say this is wrong or that's wrong. And the offense did not look very good at all. They had one really good drive, and that was about it. A couple of big plays in there. But maybe it's right. Like, maybe it just matters if they win, and it doesn't matter how they win. Because I don't know how many weeks I can come on the air and say it's not going to, because I did it last year. And I came in and I said, it's not going to work if you don't do this. It's not going to work if you don't do that. And then, you know, 12 weeks later, we were, you know, at the Super Bowl parade.
Yeah.
And they clearly, whatever it is, whether it is the collection of talent they have, whether it is Nick Sirianni, whether it's maybe it's the culture, maybe it's a combination of all those things, it just seems like they figure out a way one way or the other to win, and it might not always be pretty, but they won the freaking game, and that's the point. I just don't know, and we will have time to get into all the things that didn't look good, but I'm finally at the point where there is something to be said for even if you're not playing particularly well, even if you're not dominating the opponent, even if your pass game doesn't look great, if the run game, this, that, the other, they just won. And they figure out a way to win. And that is something that the greatest teams do. And they figure out a way to win.
Welcome. Yeah, welcome. I mean, crazy.
Welcome. Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club. It's like, would
better
I like
late,
all,
better late than never.
Yes, yeah. And I don't know what to say. And like, it doesn't seem like – it just seems like they – and maybe it is talent. Maybe you have enough good players to – if you don't make mistakes at a certain point, one of your good players is going to make some big play like Saquon did or like Devontae did.
Yep.
Or and the other thing is that I was sort of – I thought the defense was going to get better as the season went on. But I thought to myself, there's no way the defense is going to be – good at any time this year. But this is two straight games, and they with the Jalen Phillips addition, that maybe the defense is going to be good. And it's
Big test coming up Sunday.
A huge test.
Big test.
And I also think the addition, I did not count on the addition of N'Kobe Dean being as big as it seems like it's been. Because,
well, we almost forgot how good he was last year.
Yes.
Through our excitement for getting Jahad Campbell.
Yes.
And everybody's thinking about the possibilities of what he could do and what he could be. And those things still remain true. But what also still remains true is that N'Kobe Dean is the middle linebacker of this defense. He is virtually a captain on that side of the football, as he is the quarterback of the defense over there. And he often sets the tone over there when it comes to playing on first and second down as that chief run defender. Like, that's what he is. Spike, you were saying something there, and, you know, in the moment of you speaking there, it just dawned on me, right? It overcame me that, you know, there's only two other teams that I can remember thinking about in that way in which you just explained how you just succumbed to what the Eagles' formula for success looks like and what it's going to be. And that was the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
They just win.
Yeah.
It's not always pretty. You know, New England did it for 20 years.
Yes.
So that's a long time. But people forgetting those first 10 years, 5-6 years of them winning, they just won. They just found ways to win. And if it meant Adam Vinatieri kicking a field goal late in the game, so be it. They didn't blow out everybody. They played great defense. They ran the football. And Tom Brady never made plays to lose games. He always made the right play. And that maybe that's – in Kansas City, they've gone from being this explosive offense with Tyreek Hill and everything they did with winning their first Super Bowl to this methodical, you know, Andy and Patrick Mahomes sort of just scheming their way, dinking and dunking and playing good defense. They don't even have a running game. They didn't have a running game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire stunk as a running back. They found a way to win with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Chiefs found a way to win three Super Bowls in 5 years or whatever it was by just doing it different ways. And maybe that's where the Eagles are, that they finally have figured out it may not always look the way we wanted to look or expected to look, but in the end, they win the majority of the time.
They've won 6 1 score games this year.
They just win.
Of their seven games.
That's what they do.
Yeah. 215-592-9494.
They just win. Fritz, it feels so good. Fritz, say it, Fritz.
Fritz, your new era of just enjoying the birds.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Just enjoy them.
Not getting all wrapped up.
Don't take this for granted.
Stuff, you know.
That's right.
I'm day two in my Jalen sobriety.
Yes. And
only one relapse last night.
Wow. Well, one relapse in one day.
Well, it's hard to fit. I was wondering, you know, it was the first time he had to get through an actual game.
Yes. Yep. How'd that feel?
It was good. It was good. I felt free in a way.
Yep.
And then he threw a duck that Devontae had to make a good play on, and it's like, come on, just pick it one time.
Here we go.
But anyway, it was one relapse. But other than that, I gotta be honest, I hear all your happy horse bleat over there. It's great.
You mean Spike's happy horse?
Both ears.
Yeah.
Kevin Petullo's gonna cost his team a ring. There is no doubt about it. They went back to the conservative nonsense last night. And it's the coward's draw on 3rd and 12 when you have Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, who's a $51 million quarterback. Trust him to make a play. It was a lot of cowardice last night out of this offensive coaching staff. And my big concern today, I'm glad they won. That was a great game. That was football.
That's the way football's supposed to be.
I feel way more today that this Petullo thing's still an issue. Like the Giants game threw us off the scent a little bit. There's still something off with this offense.
You know, they're scoring 26 points a game this – well, going into last night, they were scoring 26 points a game on offense, and last year was 26.7. Yeah. And it's so crazy.
What do you mean? What's off with it? No, Jalen was a little off last night.
He was.
A little bit. But he chalked it up to the cold. When he needed big plays, one made big plays. But –
He did.
But it was just – it was the 3rd and long runs again. It was the conservative kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of playing not to lose.
They do predate Petullo. The coward's draw predates Petullo.
But it feels way more this year.
Does it?
It feels more this year. Does it feel like they've done that more this year?
Yeah. Now, maybe it's because we seem to be in more 3rd and long situations.
Well, we're in a lot of 3rd and longs. Yeah.
They didn't really do that last year.
I don't know how many of those we had last year, but it seems like we're in a lot of them this year.
Well, it's because of the running game. I mean, but we'll get into it. 215-592-9494. I am going.
Santa Clara, welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. After a riveting 10-7 victory. You know what? All jokes aside, that was an awesome football game last night. What a win by the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 7-2. Let's talk about it. 215-592-9494. Hugh, the Eagles win a low-scoring defensive battle that made me feel like I was back in the late 90s. I was glued to my TV. That was an awesome NFC contender football game. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. And you know what? I watched that game last night, and you know what I came to the conclusion? That defense is a necessity. Like that was an old school football game last night, man. I was sitting there watching that game, and my shoulders were hurting. Like, I was like, it was a beautiful thing to watch. Now, I know for a lot of people that don't understand football, I'm going to just say that. I'm going to go ahead and Brian Clark y'all early this morning. That don't understand football are not going to like that game, especially, you know, and it's not even a Ryan Clark, because I've talked to some of my contemporaries already, and they didn't like the fact, because of the star power that was on the field, they didn't really score a lot of points. But I saw some stellar defense being played, man. I could hear those shoulder pads popping from my television, like sitting in my front room, and I was like, that's old school football right there. That was 10-yard fight. Y'all remember the game? Y'all probably don't remember. Y'all too young for that. But for all the old heads out there, 10-yard fight was before Madden. And that was the game where you didn't do a whole lot. You just ran the football. You know, that's what that was last night. The running game wasn't paying huge dividends early, but they stayed with it. That was tough sledding. That was some old school football last night. That was some black and blue division football last night.
It was awesome. I loved every. I was. You know what? Hugh, you mentioned Ryan Clark, but you know what? Last night was for. Last night was for football guys. If you love the game of football, there are 10-7 games sometimes are boring. That was not a boring football game. I couldn't.
We saw one last week, and that was horrible.
You're right. 10-7 to start week 10, Thursday night football. 10-7 to end week 10. It was, and it's not just because the Eagles won. That's obviously made us all excited at the end and for the game. But I loved that football game last night. The defense was outstanding last night. Jalen Phillips, Howie Roseman may have landed a true difference maker at the NFL trade deadline.
He was all over the place,
He was awesome. I mean, he was their best edge rusher. He was setting the edge. He was making run stops, forcing fumbles, recovering fumbles. He was everywhere last night. I love the way he played. Quinyon Mitchell, the defensive line. That was the if for the first time, maybe all year, the Giants came a couple weeks ago, but like against a talented offense, that reminded you a little bit of last year's Eagles defense, smothering on top of things, smarter than the other team. Ojomo calling out the play at the end. Awesome. Look, the offense last night, Hugh, was obviously not very good. Now, that was the best defense they saw all year. That Packers defense could play.
That Packers defense was stout.
Yes.
I'll tell you what I saw last night, Joe. Now, a lot of it didn't come together like you wanted it to, but I feel like Jalen was more decisive, even if it was not accurate. He was more decisive in some of the things that he wanted to do. Now, he took some chances with the football that he doesn't normally take, like throwing across his body and throwing some high he threw some dangerous plays. He threw some dangerous throws. But they were able to get the win. He got the ball out of his hands a lot quicker. That's what you want to see. There was growth last night, even though it might not show up in the stat sheet. There was growth last night, and like I said, that defense was a necessity last night. That was a physical confrontation. Yep. They played physical. They matched the Green Bay Packers physical. That was more physical than I thought that game was going to be.
You know what it was? It was one of those nights where it was so tight, so close. Every little game, every little play mattered. And there's something about this Eagles team here where they have a knack for making big plays in big moments that the other team doesn't make.
Look,
I don't think Jalen Hurts played a very good game last night. It wasn't horrendous. He didn't lose the game. He didn't play his best game. We've seen his best games this year. That wasn't one of them.
That's fair.
But late, that throw to Devontae is a big-time throw, right? That touchdown pass and that whole drive is a big-time drive. The play by Saquon. Again, Saquon last night, you look at his numbers, it's pretty pedestrian. Less than 3 yards a carry. But that catch in the flat and the swing pass, Hugh, and then the spin move he made, That's where you watch and you're like, you know what? The Eagles just have more special players than most teams. And those guys seem to make a play to win a game.
Man, listen. Last night, pads were cracking. Like I said, that was old school football. It was fun to watch because Saquon knew a couple of those holes that weren't there.
Yep.
He just had to burrow. He just dropped his head and he just took what he could get. And he muscled his way through. Same thing with the Green Bay Packers running back. It was some real hardcore running last night. Hardcore.
I used the right word or the right phrase, black and blue. It was an awesome game. The Eagles came to play last night, and in the grand scheme of things, it's a huge victory. You know, they put up the graphic before the game on the chances to be the number one seed, which really, if we want to get back to the Super Bowl, we're on the road again. We want to go to Santa Clara, Hugh. The number one seed is the way to do it, right? Home field advantage, one less playoff game. It's a huge advantage. And the Eagles' chances jumped from 13% to 31% to get that number one seed by winning last night. It's not over. Nothing's clinched. I got a long way to go. But that was a difference-making game for the Philadelphia Eagles. So the good last night was how much fun it was. The good was the defense. The good was the clutch plays by the offense. We're going to get to the other side in a second. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to hop in here. And we do want to say, before we get all caught up in the reaction, Hugh, it is Veterans Day. So we want to wish our best to all the veterans
Salute
out there.
Salute to those who serve,
yes,
man.
Yes, absolutely. Well said.
Much appreciated.
It absolutely is. We thank everyone out there who has been part of the armed forces and has served. All right, Hugh, so the game last night, we're aligned. I mean, I had so much fun watching that game. It brought me back to my childhood, teenage years.
Watch. It was. It brought me back to when I played, because like I told you, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can't tell you all the colorful language that I was using, but you could feel that. You felt that energy. N'Kobe Dean, man, like, he's a special player. He might not be one of the healthiest or the biggest guys, but it's something about him in the middle of that defense where he's a difference maker. He's a big-time difference maker, man. And, you know, he plays with a fire, and he plays bigger than what he really is. It was one when he had that interception, well, not the fumble, you could tell, like, Jordan's a big quarterback. And N'Kobe was fighting to get him down, and, you know, Jordan trying to get the ball out of his hand and everything. And for them to have that play, like, they play special all the way around, man. Jalen Phillips, he looks like he's going to be a problem.
Oh, he could play.
You know, Nolan Smith being back in there. Yep. Shout out to my man BG getting his legs underneath him, man. It's hard. Listen, it's hard sitting down, you know, when your mental shift and go out there and play football. Yep. But, hey, man, shout out to BG, man, for being out there. I think he got like 6 or 7 plays. Yeah, it's going to take a while for him to work his way back, but shout out to BG, man.
Defense was awesome. It reminded me of last year. Vic Fangio was on top of it. He completely destroyed Matt LaFleur. All right, so now that we have run through all the excitement and the reasons we love watching that football game and a victory and the better chance to get the one seed, it's a great night for the Philadelphia Eagles, a great morning to be here in Philadelphia. Can I just ask one question? Yeah. What the hell was Nick Sirianni doing at the end of that football game?
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
I got to ask the question.
Did
Odyssey spring for an elephant?
No.
Do we not address the elephant in the room?
Hold up. It's 10:09.
I can't wait.
No, wait a minute.
I gave you 9 minutes. What the hell was that? All right, let's unpack it. Fourth down, 27 seconds to go. The ball on the Packers 35. Okay, the Packers have no timeouts to go.
None.
It is a field goal game. The only chance the Packers have, and we watched their offense the whole night struggle to move the football.
They were sputtering. Yeah.
The only chance they have is to get the ball in field goal range at a manageable field goal. And Nick Sirianni and the Eagles offense decide to throw a bomb on fourth down and give the ball back to the Packers on the 35-yard line. It was a ridiculous decision. Not even defensible. It was a ridiculous decision. It gave the Packers life. And if McManus didn't have a bad quad, he shouldn't even be playing. He's hurt. The Packers kicker. They might have gone to overtime for no reason. That is a clear punt. It is a clear punt, and even if the ball goes in the end zone, and I know that's a weird part of the field where a touchback is probably likely, I mean, you could take the delay a game, give the Braden Mann a little more space, but whatever. Even if it goes in the end zone, you are taking 15 yards and making them have to go 15 extra yards with no timeouts. Hugh, it was one of the most ridiculous end-game decisions I have ever seen a coach make. There was no reason for it. Hugh, what were you thinking as you watched that? Because I sat there by myself, you know, late at night in my house. I'm looking around. I'm like,
"What the hell are you doing?
What the hell is going on?"
Now, I will say this. In the moment when it happened, I was like Troy. I was perplexed because I'm thinking, okay, 20-something seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
Is you want to kick? Like, if you kick it, the worst could happen to go in the end zone. They get on the 20.
Right. So
they still have to march down the field.
Yes, and that would be 15 yards. You'd pin them back further.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
No timeouts.
Your 27 seconds, two, maybe three plays, maybe, but you're still not in field goal range. I was thinking, okay, your defense is playing well. I'm trying to workshop it. Defense is playing well. You got a lot of confidence in your defense, but that's a lot. That's a big ask. That's a big old ask at the end of the game for them to put them in that situation. I didn't understand it.
Well, no one did. And then it got worse when I heard the explanation after the game. Can we hear Nick Sirianni after the game talking about that decision?
Again, in that moment, you know, we made the decision to go for it in that one. Don't regret that at all. Wanted to be able to end the game. Played in, you know, it didn't work this time. Sometimes that happens and you know, but I got a lot of faith in sending those guys back out there, in those scenarios. You know, I had a very similar one, you know, that we're all high-fiving about against Cleveland last year, right? Very similar. Very similar that we went vertical on and Jalen made a great play. Didn't work this time. Had a, you know, in a four-minute mode, kind of similar-ish to the Minnesota game. So, you know, when they work, you know, they were high five. And when they don't work, you're going to go back and say, hey, was this the best thing that we should have done in this particular case? And we'll be hypercritical of ourselves there.
All right, let me quickly take everyone through what he's referencing there. Because he tried to explain this away, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't remember those situations. So he mentioned they had a similar situation against Cleveland last year. No, they were up 20-16, 2-minute warning, 2nd and 11 on the 48, and they threw a bomb, caught, and they were able to take the knees and end the game. 2nd and 11 is not the same as 4th down when they have no timeouts left with 20-something seconds to go.
He misremembered.
Well, yeah, I guess he did. Well, we could go back and look. He also referenced the game against Minnesota a couple weeks ago. That was a 3rd and 9 with on the 44-yard line with 1:44 to go. Again, trying to ice the game. This is a 4th down play. The only hope they have is to get in field goal range, and you gave them extra field position for no reason. I mean, that was a ridiculous thought. Ray Didinger said it very well this morning on the morning show as he reacted to the win and that decision by Nick Sirianni.
What was it Voltaire said? Common sense isn't that common. You know, I mean, I think that was a case of that. I mean, there is no decision. You punt it,
yeah,
and you make them take. You make them drive the long field against a defense they haven't been able to beat all night. I mean, that's what you do.
Totally.
I don't. You know, look, I don't care how many times Nick tries to explain this, and I don't care how many different ways he tries to explain this. It was a dumb decision.
Well, I mean, completely well said by Ray Didinger. He could try to give me 50 games he's coached where he's had similar situations. One, I don't even think it's true. Two, no, it was ridiculous. All right, your reaction, everything last night, 215-592-9494. Was it an enjoyable win? It was for me. It was for Hugh. I'm glad to have Hugh Douglas back. It's been years since this guy appreciated defense. He now does. And your take?
I appreciated that last night. That was fun to watch.
Isn't it nice
to
be back?
That was fun to watch. It was fun to watch. Jalen Phillips go out there and do his thing. It was fun to watch N'Kobe Dean play that old school linebacker. N'Kobe, if you listen, he just looks so little, like he looks like Mighty Mouse or somebody, but because he's out there, he's not the biggest guy, but he's creating havoc.
He's a player.
And it was great to see, man. That was some old school football last night. The pass was singing last night.
Nice
and it was cold.
It is nice to have a football player back on the show. We missed you. All right.
I'm glad that Hugh gets to stay in the Eagles Hall of Fame.
I know.
We can start giving him his sacks back.
You know what? We should present him maybe
I'll tell you.
We'll wrap them like for a Christmas gift. Yeah. We'll give you your sacks back.
That was fun to watch, man. That's what football is about.
Yes.
Like, you know, all that high scoring and all the good stuff. Nah. That's the kind of football games I like to watch.
Until there were 27 seconds left and we decided to go for the fourth down.
that
I don't know
crazy.
What the hell that was. All right, 215-592-9494. For your reaction to it all, including the Sirianni decision to go for the fourth down. Kyle, what are you feeling this morning as the Eagles get to 7-2?
So I also really enjoyed the game. And I went into yesterday saying, you know, I said it was a must win. Mm-hmm. Get the win by whatever means necessary. So I didn't need it to look pretty. That wasn't a style point spot right there. You had a desperate Packers team who is good, by the way. While overrated, they are still a tough, like a good football team. That defense probably going to end up being the best defense that we see all season long.
I agree.
You're on the road in what's historically a tough place to play. It's Lambeau Field. It's prime time. It's cold. Like that's a huge win. I don't care what the score is. Holding the Packers to 7 points was awesome. And granted, the offense shot themselves in the foot a lot of times. I didn't think Hurts had his best game. Sirianni didn't have his best game. Kevin Petullo didn't have his best game. But, like, man, you take it. A win is a win. And I almost, like, I love watching football games where when my defense is on the field, I'm excited. Because I expect them to make a play. And Jalen Phillips, like, man, it really feels like how he did it again with the Jalen Phillips thing.
Yep.
That dude plays with his hair on fire. Nolan Smith back, like, he's so violent off the edge. I just love watching Nolan Smith play. It feels good to have a defensive line that feels dominant again. So I was just happy to get the win. Until, like you said, where I was wondering at a certain point if it was going to be my last night on Earth when I choked when Nick Sirianni kept the offense out there on the field at the end of the game. It's an indefensible decision, and I really pray today that nobody tries to defend that lunacy.
Well, it's indefensible.
At the end of the game.
It's indefensible.
It made no sense. I still can't wrap my head around
it. There was one way for the Packers to get that game to overtime. One, and that was to give them a shot at a field goal. And again, I understand it's a weird part of the field, and it's probably going to be a touchback. It's tough to get the pin there and the ball not bounce in the end zone. Those 15 yards would have been crucial. They got a field goal attempt off because of where the Eagles gave them the football. And that was a 64-yarder, would have been the longest in Lambeau Field history. The only reason they even got a 64-yarder off is because of where they were allowed to have the football. It was indefensible by the head coach of the football team. That was insane. And I agree on Jalen Phillips. How he did it again, it reminded me a little bit of 20. You know, how he hasn't had a lot of hits with these midseason trades, but Jay Ajayi in 2017 was a hit. And I remember Jay Ajayi's first primetime game on the road in Dallas. He had like a 71-yard rush. He ran for 90-something yards. And it was like, man, this guy's going to help. Like, this is a big difference maker on the road to winning a championship. And I felt that last night watching Jalen Phillips. Let's get everyone's reaction. 215-592-9494. The Eagles are the number one seed right now in the NFC thanks to a win last night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Chris. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe
Giglio.
That was
old school football last night, man.
Well, that was old school football. And this is the Football Guy Hour. We got Jason Avant with us. Hugh Douglas is back. It's been so long since you were a football guy. Doesn't it feel right to be a football guy again, Hugh?
I've always been a football guy.
Well, you denounced defense for so long. We knew we lost you. He's back. And joining us now to complete the Football Guy Hour is our guy, Ross Tucker. The Ross Report on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. As good as you can be on 4 hours sleep. I'm awesome.
Yeah, well, you know what? We are too, because it's certainly better to come off a win than a loss with that kind of night and a long night. Ross, before we get into the particulars of the game, what did you feel watching it? Because sometimes, and we referenced the Thursday night game this past week where it was 10-7. Sometimes 10-7 games stink. It's like, oh, this is awful to watch. I didn't think that last night. I was glued to my TV. I thought that was great football, even though the score much lower than we're typically used to seeing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So I was there last night. I called the game with Kevin Harlan for Westwood One on the national radio side. And the way I described it is, you know, obviously it's extremely low scoring. So how much of that was bad offense? How much of that was good defense? I'm going to say it was like two-thirds, maybe three-quarters good defense. And then a quarter or a third bad offense. I didn't think either Hurts nor Jordan Love were particularly sharp. You know, the teams kept having either penalties or mental errors on the offenses that would cost them and they couldn't sustain drives. But I also saw two young, fast, very athletic defenses, guys flying around. I mean, the Packers linebackers, Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, Micah Parsons looks like the Terminator when he's trying to chase these guys down from behind. And then, you know, for the Eagles, obviously, Quinyon Mitchell's just an incredible football player. And I got to tell you, Jalen Phillips, he might have been the best player on the field last night.
Yeah,
he was balling. He was setting the edge like a you-know-what. And then he was awesome as a rusher as well. You know, I was not sure what he still had in him after those two devastating injuries the last 2 years. I'm not sure, guys, they win that game last night without him. And if that's the case, the dude might have already been worth the third-round pick. I mean, I think they'd probably give up a third-round pick for a critical win. And I don't know. I mean, maybe they still do, but he made a bunch of plays that certainly helped the Eagles tremendously in that game.
Yeah, he was super impactful, and he played a ton of snaps. I mean, he was out there for like 78% of snaps.
He started the game.
Yeah, and basically never came off the field, which is wild in his first game. Ross, overall, the front seven, that was the best I've seen them play since last year. I mean, Phillips a huge part of it, but I mean, even more Ojomo. I mean, we played the audio earlier, him calling out that final play or one of the final players for the Packers, the 4th-and-1, where he knew it was inside zone. How about the play of the overall front seven? It felt like to me, it reminded me of last year where they got contributions from everybody up front.
Well, yes, but first of all, that is one of the issues with running the ball out of the shotgun, like the Eagles do a lot, but especially if you're not going to huddle. There's a very, very, very small menu of runs. So it's 4th-and-1. The Packers are in the hurry up. They get up on the ball, but Love doesn't get under center for a potential quarterback sneak or a number of different runs. He stays in the gun. I was calling out inside zone left. There are just not that many runs, guys, out of gun with an offset running back. You know, there's other things they can do, but most teams don't. Most of the time, it's just inside zone, away from the offset setback. I'm glad Ojomo's smart, but they all should have been saying that. I was saying that, and that was a major issue for the Packers. And I would also say one of the reasons why the Eagles have had more success lately is they're not they're running more runs than just inside zone out of the gun. But you're right. Ojomo was awesome. Jalen Carter batted down a couple of passes. BG made a play already. And I think Jalix Hunt made a few plays. The difference now is that it feels like they can come at you in waves. They did have Campbell on the edge a few times. I'm not sure how much we're going to see that. You know, he gave up a really explosive run because he let the receiver crack down on him. Heath cracked on him when he was the edge defender. That's on Jihad. I'm not sure Jihad is there yet as a run defender that they're going to trust him to continue to give him a lot of snaps off the edge with all these other guys they have right now.
Ross, we spent a lot of time today getting excited about the win, the defense, the old school feel. We also spent time on that last fourth down decision by the Eagles. What did you make of the decision to go for it there, the throw by Hurts deep to AJ in the moment on when you're on the call? And then now that you've had some time and 4 hours of sleep to unpack it, what in the world was that last night?
You know what's interesting about it, Joe? I think your viewpoint of things is changed a little bit if you're not watching the telecast. Like, evidently, it sounds like Aikman was very strong, that he thought they should have punted it. You know, I'm in my own world, right? I got a headset on. I'm with Kevin Harlan. I said, this is a very interesting scenario. There's three options. You can kick the field goal, 53-yarder, go up by six, force the Packers to have to kick, you know, score a touchdown. You can try to punt it, but you're already at the 36-yard line. Maybe you take the delay game, but the Packers can also elect to decline that. You can go for it. You know what I said in the moment? And I'm like so proud of myself. I said, or you could go with a little quick kick here. How amazing would that have been if Hurts like dropped back punt, 2 yards?
Yeah, Jason Avant said the same thing like 5 minutes ago. You guys were on the exact same page.
That is so funny. Yeah. And did a pooch punt because nobody was back. So here's what I would tell you guys. A couple things. Number one, I want you to think about Nick Sirianni's entire tenure. How many times on Monday or Tuesday has the topic of conversation been a clock management or game management error by Sirianni? Very, very little. The Eagles, first of all, almost every team has a guy that's totally devoted to game management and late game strategy, right? These situations. Mm-hmm. I know the guy for the Eagles. I know who does it. And I talked to the guys. I talked to him, and I talked to the guys for other teams. This was not a no-brainer. I don't care what Troy said. I like Troy. This was not a no-brainer that you just punt it. If you just punt it, you're conceding that they get it. And by the way, if you punt it in the end zone, it's 16 yards that you get. And how much time do you take off the clock? I was okay with the decision to go for it. I probably would lean towards just having a little quick punt and trying to pin them inside the 20. But I'm okay with their decision to go for it and try to end it. The biggest thing I was talking about after the play, and I'm very curious to hear what Jason has to say, if A.J. Brown comes back for the ball, it's pass interference. But Valentine didn't get his head around at all. I don't understand why A.J. did not come back through Valentine's body to try to make a catch. It would have been an easy pass interference. So here's how I'm looking at it, guys. You throw that ball to A.J. Number one, he can catch it. Number two, you can get pass interference. Number three, if Valentine intercepts it, that's even better. That's great. I mean, that's fine too. Like, oh, every scenario other than an incompletion is good there. So it didn't work out for them. I know it's a big talking point. I can see both sides. I don't think it's as big a deal, Joe. Like, I saw your rant earlier. You know, what was Sirianni thinking? Like, I get it. I don't think it's as big a deal as you guys do.
Sure. What's the value, though, of the time and clock? Because that's where I was at. Like, I understand your point, and the interception would have been basically a punt, right? That the shot play creates it to where it's interception or incomplete. So that, I get the risk reward
or
there.
Or pass interference or caught.
Yeah, which I agree with you. If he gave a little different effort, maybe he guessed that. But to me, like, Ross, you're right. The 20 is the worst case scenario on the punt. You also could pin them at the 10, 9, 8, like, wherever it goes. To me, the 20 versus the 36, that's another play. One play, probably one pass play, and they don't have any timeouts, and the only shot they have is a long field goal. Like, is there value to even, I know 16 yards isn't much typically, but in that case, it felt like a lot to me.
Right, so here's the calculation, okay? And let's just say it is 16 yards. By the way, throwing it deep to AJ, like they did take a few more seconds off the clock. The other thing I thought was interesting, I don't know how much you guys have talked about this, looking at Sirianni's reaction on the sideline, I'm not sure that that ball was supposed to go to AJ. I'm not sure that that's what he wanted to have happen there. I thought I saw a why, and I thought I saw frustration from Nick. That
I saw the same thing, Russ. I saw it.
Right,
too.
So I don't know. You know, that also seems to me like one of those where it's like, okay, if it's wide open, throw it. If not, see what else you have, or maybe even tuck it away and run. But just the way you're laying out the scenario, Joe, the calculation is a 0% chance that you end the game, you have the ball, game over, but a 100% chance that the other team does get the ball at the 20-yard line versus whatever percentage chance that the Eagles somehow convert with a catch, pass interference, or even an interception by Valentine at the 3-yard line. Any of those things is a better scenario, but in two of those scenarios, the game is over and the Packers never get a chance. They never get the ball. And I understand the 16 yards is better, but we've seen what the Kansas City Chiefs did to the Buffalo Bills in the playoff game with 13 seconds left. So is 16 yards worth a 0% chance that you can end the game with the ball?
Yeah, it would have been for me, but it wasn't for Sirianni, and it were. I mean, look, they won the game, which is the most important thing. Ross, let's end with this. The game Sunday, which is now, it's going to soon be on our minds. We're still celebrating last night, but the Lions are coming in here, so it's one big game to another. Your first thought on this matchup, and it has a little intrigue now, a different intrigue, because it sounds like Dan Campbell took over play calling on Sunday in Detroit.
He did, and they were much, much more effective than they had been, the couple games prior to that. Lions have a good team. The Commanders are really, really bad. I think the Commanders have lost 4 games in a row by 20 points. So the Commanders are kind of done. So it's hard to put too much stock into that. But you do know that this is the NFC Championship game rematch that the Lions felt like they never got. Mm. I do think the Eagles are the better team, but it's a short week. The Lions feel like they've been building up to this a little bit after last week. I said before last week, Joe, I thought the Eagles would probably end up splitting these two games. But if they won them both, man, that would be huge for their number one overall seed hopes. So I think it's going to be very similar. Now, I think there'll be more points than 10-7, but I do think it'll be a field goal game that can go either way. The Eagles feel like they've got a really high percentage of victories in these close games, which is a credit to Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. I always think late in close games, I mean, there's sort of a championship culture thing there too, but a lot of that is on the head coach making the right choices, although none of you guys seem to think he made any of the right ones, and the quarterback making the right decisions late in the game, like Hurts typically does.
It's going to be a fun one. Eagles-Lions Sunday Night Football. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on, and enjoy this week. We'll talk next week.
All right, now I got to listen because I got to hear what Jason says about A.J. Brown not coming back for the ball and drawing the
well,
pass interference.
I made that point earlier. We had the same mindset. He should have come back to the ball and drawn the pass interference because it was inside. So if he goes back aggressively, but that was A.J.'s body language most of the game.
All right, let me – you know what I'm going to do when you guys – when I hang up? I'm going to text Rod Lakin. Maybe it should be the Ross and Jason Avant show.
Well, listen, I mean,
we're the ones coming up with we're the ones saying the right things. Oh, we're sharing God. A brain. We're the ones that know what we're talking about.
But no disrespect, though, Ross, but you're not that entertaining, though, dog. you're not entertaining.
Ross, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, see you guys.
There we go.
Hurts is back. Hurts steps up. He looks. He fires out in the flat. Complete. And running with the football is Barkley. Breaks a tackle. Down the left sideline. To the 50. To the 40. To the 35. Hurts to Barkley. The biggest play of the game.
Well, there weren't many, you know, explosive offensive plays last night. I guess the Eagles had two. That and the next one. I mean, even the other drives, and they moved it at times, like the first drive. I can't think of the explosive types. Big win.
You missed Calcaterra. They really had a chance at that. Calcaterra one was the one they missed over the middle.
For sure.
That
for
first
sure.
drive was 16 plays. There wasn't anything that explosive
on it. No, it really wasn't. It was great to have Brandon Graham back out there last night. I want to play some BG audio for you of him after the game. But first, let me just tell you how they broke it down with the edge rushers. Because, you know, we were interested in who's going to play, how much, who's not going to play, who's going to get cut. So first off, no edge rusher got cut. Excuse me. Let me take that back. Patrick Johnson got cut. So Patrick Johnson gets cut before the game, but placed on the practice squad. All right. So he goes back to that for like the 70 millionth time of his career. Poor guy. All right. Ojulari injured reserve. We had known that for the last, you know, couple weeks. Uche activated last night, but did not play defensively. Got a couple special team snaps, but he's obviously the odd guy out for now, just on that front. Now, here's who played on the edge, because we're going to get to Brandon Graham, who only played 10 snaps last night out of 68 snaps. By the way, that's not a surprise.
And just three special teams.
So. Yeah, a couple times out there on special teams. But BG played 10 of the 68 defensive plays. Now, it always gets a little funky, because the Eagles split time at linebacker between N'Kobe Dean, who plays about two-thirds of the game, and Jihad Campbell, who plays about a third of the game inside linebacker. So then you got to say, all right, well, what did Campbell get on the edge? If I have the math right, I think Campbell played about 10 snaps on the edge. So here's how the edge worked out. Jalen Phillips played by far the most. He played 53 snaps. Again, this is out of 68 defensive plays. So Jalen Phillips, who was awesome last night, 53 snaps. Jalix Hunt played 43 snaps. Nolan Smith played 19 on the edge. And then Brandon Graham was 10. And Jihad Campbell, I think, was about 10. Because you got to figure out when is Jihad Campbell replacing N'Kobe. So that's sort of the rotation. That's how they did it. But again, odd guy out. Patrick Johnson cut. Ojulari injured reserve. Uche activated, but not active, if you will. Let's get to Brandon Graham after the game. Happy, of course. I mean, when isn't he? Brandon Graham last night.
Your first game back post-retirement, and it's at Lambeau Field. Any emotions running out of the tunnel or anything?
Oh, yeah, it felt good. I mean, I played here a bunch of times. I don't know my record, but it should be a winning. It should be on the winning side of it. But it just felt good just being back, first game back Lambeau, and then, you know, got the win. And now, I mean, Detroit Lions coming to town. And so all my family coming in, you know, they are big Lions fans, so that's going to be a fun one too. So hopefully now getting a little experience in this one, I can get some more in the next one. But I was just hyped to just see the guys go out there and make plays.
All right, that's BJ. That audio, of course, courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Ashlyn Sullivan on the scene last night covering the birds for NBC Sports Philly. Of course, one of our own here at WIP as well. All right, Bat of the Bone Award shortly. No Jaws today. Typically, Jaws with us 7:25 Tuesdays. Jaws will be with us tomorrow. Ray Diddy today. Seth today. Jaws tomorrow. To the phones we go. Eagles Shirley right now. Big win, Shirley.
Good morning, family. Good morning, Joe. Ray. Good morning. Good morning, John. Hey.
What's up, Shirley? Eagles Shirley.
Yeah, listen. You know what? Taking nothing away from the opponents, the Packers. They played. Our Eagles played. And we expected more. Of course, we wanted more. But let me tell you something. Watching both defensive plays yesterday, it just took me back to the years of when, you know, the defense was the more dominant, you know, than the offense. And that game was so good. I mean, for me, I was excited just seeing both sides just going at it. Of course, you're like, okay, it's going to come down to the quarterbacks. eventually somebody got to score and somebody got to lose. But it's not going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's got to happen. But it was so good. I really enjoyed that game.
Shirley, I agree with you 1,000,000%. I thought it was highly entertaining. Some people disagree with me. I thought it was great. And by the way, the game it reminded me of in Eagles history, and I'm sure there's some from further back, but if you remember in 2001, the Eagles had a knockdown dragout with the Giants in the Meadowlands, and they won 10-9. And that was a huge win because it was the first time the Eagles had beaten the Giants in a long, 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 long time. Now, that was a late Eagles touchdown, McNabb to thrash fourth quarter. That was a comeback
what year was
in the 01. That was a big win. And this one felt very similar. It didn't have the go-ahead touchdown at the very end, but it was very similar. Not 10-9, 10-7. I loved it last night, Shirley.
Yeah, I did. And when Green Bay was making their plays, I'm like, okay, I see y'all. I see but y'all ain't going to win. I'm talking so much trash like they can hear me. But it was so good. But you missed that. I mean, we so used to – I'm going to be honest. The Eagles got us spoiled. We used to – over the years, we used to big explosive plays. We used to 30-something, this, that, and the other. But I don't know when was the last time I watched two great football teams just go out there and just be on the field from a defensive side stance and say, you know what, we're going to win this game for our quarterback. We're going to win this game for our team. And we're like, no, we're going to win this. So it was so good to see that. And I know at the end of the day, you know, we wanted to have more scores. And I know – you know, the play calling. You know what? It's a lot that can be fixed and adjusted and all that old good stuff. But I want to say this. These days on Monday night games, y'all know what I was doing while I was trying to wait for the game? I was watching movies. I just got off a bye. And it felt like it was another bye.
Yeah. Well, Shirley, you know what the good news is? Remember how this was a long wait for this one, 15 games a days? Now we only got 5 days to the next one. Shirley, good hearing from you, always. Eagles get right back at it. And now the pathway really is there to get to 8-2. I mean, you got the harder of the two out of the way. Now it's the Eagles-Lions here. Don't get me wrong. Eagles could lose it. You're right, Lions are legit. Legit game. But you got the harder one out of the way, and you got the W.
Eagles are an early favorite, believe it or not.
They should be.
Yeah.
They're home, and they're better.
Not
and look, I know one it's a short week for the Eagles, but it's back-to-back road games for the Lions, so it mitigates it a bit.
And you guys know my theory. The Eagles are entering that Patriots-Chiefs zone when all else fails. Just pick the Eagles. I mean, I said that last night. I said that yesterday morning. Like, I'm picking the Eagles. Why? Because when it looks like a toss-up, and last night looked like a toss-up, the Eagles do what the Brady teams did and the Mahomes teams just win, typically. All right, Bat of the Bone Award. When they win, we celebrate and hand out game balls. It's kind of a badass award called the Bat of the Bone Award. I know it wasn't pretty on offense. Sirianni had some whoppers of mistakes, and there was remarkable offensive inefficiency by the Eagles. But they got a big win. So let's hand out game balls. John Ritchie, game ball to who? Bat of the Bone Award. What do you got?
He just got here. And he's really tall. And his name's Jalen Phillips.
Yep.
He had 53 snaps out of that. So that's 78% of the defensive snaps. That is right up there. That's up there with some important folks.
He played great. I mean, he was maybe their best defensive player last night. He played a great football
game. I think he was
the
best player in the game.
He might have been.
Yeah.
He was really, really impactful.
I appreciated his effort. I appreciated his hustle. I appreciated, actually, you know, everything leading up to that game as well. I appreciated his appreciation of this
Me too,
city
John.
And the importance of football.
Of course.
I appreciate how much it means to him because it means, you know, that much to us, too. So
no, it's fantastic.
I think it's going to be an awesome symbiotic relationship with Jalen Phillips as this thing progresses.
Look, we've seen guys before get here when they haven't been in the best spots. Saquon last year, Roy Halladay, obviously going back to 2010. When a guy comes into a team that's got a shot to win a title, it can really, you know, give you an extra juice. And this Phillips guy looks legit. All right, Seltzer, Bat of the Bone Award, what do you got?
Yeah, as I said, I think Jalen Phillips, the clear winner. Obviously, number two is Nick Sirianni. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, guys.
I was about to come through the glass at you.
Look, I think...
James, you ready for this?
Yeah.
I was going to make the same joke.
Great one.
I had this. I literally have Sirianni in parentheses.
I love it.
Same thing teed up. All right, go ahead.
Obviously, I think there's a lot of ways you could go. So many good defensive plays in that game. I will go with the fact that we have an all-pro cornerback. Like a number one stud, put him on whoever you want, and he's going to lock him down type player. And he's physical. He gets into it. He has this ability for a second-year guy to go right up to the line with everything, with how much contact he has. With even when he's jawing on the sidelines, it's like he does it right before they're going to throw a penalty. He's out. Like, this kid, Quinyon Mitchell,
he's awesome.
Is so awesome. He is a thrill to have, honestly, a thrill to have on my team. And I thought he was lights out again last night.
Yeah, I'll say this. Last year, I thought Jalen Carter was the best defensive player. This year, I think Quinyon Mitchell has been. Now, Bond's still really good and all that stuff, but I think Quinyon has.
And Cooper was disruptive.
And Cooper DeJean's been great. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But I think Quinyon has probably played the best this year of anyone on that side. All right, Rhea, what do you got? Bat of the bone.
I am going with Jalix Hunt because I believe he's coming on. So last night he's got the sack for a 14-yard loss, five tackles, two tackle for a loss. In his last three games, Joe, pick six versus Minnesota, sack against the Giants, and what he did last night against the Packers. So, I mean, and he didn't start. You know, they're going to limit his role a little bit because obviously they've got a lot of players now. But I think he's developing like they were hoping.
All right, so this is a very unusual bat of the bone award for me because normally I write down 4 to 6 names. And then as the guys go, I'll settle on, because I got to settle. I'm the guy that's got to settle. Like, I always go last, and so I never get, you know, the Jalen Phillips because, you know, the clear star of the game is always taken off the board before me. But 3 of the 4 that I had written down are still available today. So this is...
Who was the four, Jalen Phillips?
Here we go. Jalen Phillips is the one that I had written down. Honorable mentions to Lane Johnson for just being a warrior, okay? Warrior. Honorable mention to Howie Roseman, who I thought I was probably going to be picking because I thought some of these other names would be off the board. Howie deserves credit for the trades, the maneuvers, the restocking to replenish the defense to try to go get that Super Bowl again. But the guy I'm going to give the Bat of the Bone Award to, and last night was the first night I thought he might be better than his buddy. Devontae Smith might be the Eagles' best wide receiver. And last night is the first time I've thought that all year and obviously the last 3 years. You know, I mean, to me it's been, you know, A.J. Brown's the best receiver and Devontae's an incredible two who could be a one on other teams. Last night I thought,
he performed.
Devontae might be their best receiver.
He outperformed him last night.
Yeah.
That's for sure, Joe.
Oh, he's outperformed him this season. I mean, there's no question about it. He's
handily, numbers wise, it's not even close.
Not even close. So,
but if he's not getting the ball.
Yeah, no, let me say, I feel bad for AJ. I don't want anyone to get it twisted. If I'm AJ, frankly, I would want out.
He's not dropping all these balls that he's not getting.
I get it. You know what we got to ask Jaws and we got to ask Shield this week? Is AJ not getting open as much as he used to?
Okay. Yeah.
It's a legitimate question. We got, like, when these guys
AJ
break down the film.
That he was being covered pretty well.
I was going to say also, is maybe defenses are just saying you're not getting AJ and thus we're using Devontae and Goddard, you know?
Sure. But we also know this. There are times when there's passing of the guards or torch or whatever.
No doubt, yeah.
Like, it's now Maxey's team. It's not Embiid's team anymore. It's Maxey's team.
Yeah, it could be.
Sometimes that happens. And, you know, Devontae might just be the dude instead
and
of AJ.
AJ might still be a little hampered with the injury. It feels like he hasn't been good all season. Yeah. By the way, you didn't even mention the names to Kobe Dean and Vic Fangio, who I also seriously consider picking. Like,
N'Kobe
was all over the field last night. The blitzing, even in coverage, which we know it's, you know, Campbell's been better at, that huge open field tackle was massive by him. I thought N'Kobe looked awesome.
So I looked at Amy last night. There was a moment in the game N'Kobe did something. I looked at her and I said, I don't know how you don't have the guy on the team next year. And she had this blank look because she didn't even know he's about to be a free agent and could be gone. I'm like, just brace yourself. I think you might not be here. But listen, he might be the rare case where the economics say move on because Campbell can go there and it's hard to pay everybody and Jalen Carter's about to get paid.
Important. Yeah, he might be.
And I'll say this, and this is also something I said to Amy last night, of the relatively new guys, so I'm not talking like BG and Lane, the relatively new guys the last 3-4 years, whatever, N'Kobe and Devontae are my two favorite Eagles.
I have the exact same two. You know I love N'Kobe out of Georgia. I was all in on N'Kobe. Like, love him.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more with you on this. Like, It's an interesting situation.
It is.
It really is. It really to have that is. Kind of talent. Especially, can we talk about it? Linebacker? Like, inside linebacker for the Eagles? It's and also, real quick, can we give N'Kobe, like, when he had that injury, we thought he might not even play this year or might not make the roster if he could or whatever. To be this good, this quick?
No, God bless him, because it's also a major year. You know, he didn't get the big, big money for an NFL rookie because he was a third-round pick. And so this is so big for him to get that money, obviously. And he's, you know, barring massive injury, going to get it from someone. I hope it's here. I just love that guy. All right, 215-592-9494. So, a lot going on here. What's happening? Well, the Eagles got to 7-2. I think it was a tremendous win. Now, let's not get it twisted. There were two massive negatives last night. Massive. Massive. Number one, overall offensive inefficiency was stunning. And, you know, it just shouldn't be like this when you have this much talent and this much payroll on that side of the ball. It just shouldn't be that bad. The other massive negative, of course, was Sirianni had two absolute whopper of decisions that they survived, but they were both unbelievably bad. The first was at the end of the first half when he had an opportunity, pedal to the metal. There's 11 seconds to go. Eagles had the ball in the 39. That's their own 39. It's third and six. Third and six, 11 seconds left. You got all sorts of timeouts. I mean, you know, you can only use like two because there's 11 seconds
left. All three, yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, and it's like, all right, well, let's just not do anything. And so that was stupid. It's 0-0. Like, here's the basic metric I'll apply to this. I call this the pro and the con. Okay, the pro is I can score. The con is the other team can score. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as you drive to work today, consider this reality. Which team has a better chance to score? The Eagles have the ball in the 39. There's 11 seconds left. Green Bay could get it back on a turnover or a punt. Which team has a better chance to score? Of course the Eagles have a better chance to score. You try to complete a 15 to 20-yard pass, get down, call a timeout. Maybe, by the way, even have two plays. Call another timeout, kick a field goal. Tough field goal, long field goal. The Eagles had a better chance to score. That was done by Nick. The other done by Nick, and it was way dumber. It was way dumber.
Because, almost cost him, like it could have gone overtime.
Because the implications were way bigger. To be that aggressive, after ironically being so conservative for much of the game, to be that aggressive, to not punt the ball on fourth down, and here are the circumstances, I wrote it down, let me just remind you. End of the game, it was fourth and six from the Green Bay 35. There were 33 seconds left in the game.
So that's a...
And Green Bay had no timeouts.
It's a 52-yard
really field three. Goal. They now snap it back 8 yards.
But it was cold and windy for the field goal.
So here's the way I'd break it down.
And real 53? Quick, if you do the field goal, they get it 7 yards closer.
They snap it 8 yards back, not seven now. They changed that a few years back. So you're,
are you sure?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Check it out. You'll see.
I think it varies. You can think all you want. It varies a little.
It's closer to eight than seven. But look next game. Bottom line is you got three options. Punt, go for fourth down, or kick the field goal. To me, the clear winner of that should have been punt. Because if I punt the ball, trust my punter, get it down around the 10, even if it's to the 20. But let's just say you get it to the 10. Other team's going to have to go a long way with no timeouts against a great defense with about 26, 27 seconds. That was a stupid decision by Sirianni. They survived it, but that was stupid. But don't miss the headline.
That would have gone.
Yeah, but the headline is the Eagles got a great win. I mean, great. They won in Green Bay. They won because of their defense. They won because Howie Roseman made a trade. If Howie doesn't make that trade, they might not win that game. So great job by the defense and a great team win, albeit with the offense looking brutal last night. 215-592-9494. Patrick in Tabernacle right now. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Pumped up,
doing
man.
Doing great, yeah. Patrick.
Yeah, hear that for sure. You know, but Joe, I'm listening to you just categorize this as like such a great, great win.
You think it wasn't?
No. I think it was anytime we win on the road in Green Bay, let me just say this. Joe, I don't know how to reconcile what I saw offensively. And I know the defense, but I'm just talking about the play calling.
Well,
I mean, like, and I'm just thinking, like, I'm feeling like I'm a victim of my own self because it's just like, you know, whatever year that was, they kept winning and kept winning, and then we crash. And I'm like, I'm not saying we're doing that, but but taking such a big step backwards offensively, you know, just with the play calling.
Like, well, dude,
we had yeah. I mean, I just can't, Joe, I just can't say it's a great, great, great win because, listen, you saw what Sirianni did late in the game. You saw we didn't do anything with AJ. They had no receivers, Joe. Who did they have out there?
Well, yeah, they had no receivers. The other
team had no receivers. We held them to 7 points. Whoa. Just all I'm saying is, like, just pump that brake a little bit.
No, I'm not going to, Patrick. I'm actually not. Listen, I'll get into the mud on all the issues this week, including right now. I mean, of course I have concerns about the offensive inefficiency. But I got to tell you, man, like, to get to 7-2 and have wins in their back pocket.
Against really solid NFC
at Green Bay, at Tampa Bay, at Kansas City, and home versus the Rams.
I guarantee you, and there is no other team that has as impressive a four-pack of wins. I don't even need to look at the other schedules.
That's huge.
What I'm saying is, for me, I have my foot over the – I'm covering the break on the offensive side and saying, John Ritchie, man, I know you didn't like what you saw being called last night. There is no way, as an offensive guy, you were, like, okay with what you were seeing. And I know, listen, they got a good defense, but that doesn't mean you just go soft on all these third downs. And, like, come on, man.
No.
Like, so, I think we got away with one.
Well, they did get away with one in that regard.
I think we got away with one.
I wanted to score a lot more. I wanted to produce a lot more on offense. But, you know, Nick Sirianni said something after the game that I really did find interesting when he was describing, okay, against the defense that they're running, we knew that if it was going to be a pass, we were going to end up having to check it down to the back anyway. And if that's going to be the route we're going to have to take, why not give the back the ball the way we want to give him the ball, because we can arrange the blockers in a way that we prefer. I thought that was interesting. And actually, like the path of least resistance type thinking that allows us to win.
Well, it does. That's an accurate statement at the end, but it also typically leads to a punt. If you run on third and whatever, third and 10, third and 12, third and 8, whatever, you're typically going to punt. Now, listen, it's also I trust my defense.
You know what would be cool?
You know?
A screen pass.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, like, at least try something like that. Like, I get it. I understand being conservative in these situations because they've won so much with it. But when you draw on almost every single third and 10, third and 11, third and 8, whatever, like, that in itself is super duper predictable. Like, you don't run a play to not get yards. Like, you don't just give it away. Like, at least try something, a safe play, that Goddard play that they kept working with. Like, do something.
Yeah, no, okay. Look, I get your point. Twitter poll question, by the way, speaks to this. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Red tag bonus cash is back at Armin Chevrolet in stock now. The 2026 Trailblazer starting at only $24,495. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question, other than, of course, at the very, very end when he was outrageously aggressive going for 4th and 6, do you think Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo were too conservative with their play calling last night in Green Bay, yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Of course, the irony to all this, Eagles won, as they almost always do. And they typically win with a conservative nature. But last night was like the all-timer. All right, let's get to two pieces of audio, Sirianni. Reminder, Ray Dittinger joins us at 7:55 today, mixing in a lot of calls. Also, another reminder, 8 o'clock today, we give you a ticket name. So a ticket name today at 8 o'clock so that you can win the tickets. And this is a big game, too, coming up. Eagles-Lions in 5 days at the Link.
I would say the biggest home game left of the season is coming
up. Yes. I would agree with that, except for that NFC Championship game.
Yeah, my bad. I should have said, you're right, regular, though. I should, regular regardless, season, they're going to have a home playoff game minimum. Gotcha. So it should have said regular season.
So here's how the contest works. Hopefully you know if you've been listening to our show through the last couple of years. We're going to give you a name today at 8 o'clock, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday at 8. Four names. And with those four names, you can win tickets to the Eagles-Lions game on Friday at 8 o'clock.
And, of course, courtesy of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, so
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
it's Jonah Camera.
And I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.